Welcome to Life Lab with David Ponder and Zach Schaefer. We are the podcast of experience experiments.
We give you those experiments via change challenges at the end of each episode.
We created this podcast because we wanted to talk about important topics that can help us all live meaningful lives.
You might agree with what we have to say, or you might disagree. But the point there is that you get something new to think about.
There's no edits and no gimmicks. Our entire point is to help you take action and live a better life.
You only get one life to live, so you may as well make the most of it.
Good morning, everybody. Zach Schaefer here.
And David Ponder.
Welcome back to Life Lab. And today we are talking about sacrifice. Sacrifice, an interesting word. That you really don't hear very often, in my opinion.
Well, we're trying to keep these short, but let me start by sacrificing a little of my time and saying, "Happy birthday to you."
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's Zach's birthday. How old are you?
I am 36 years young. All right. 36 years vibrant.
And it's cool. We get to do a Life Lab.
It's on your birthday. It's a great start to the day. So I am grateful for the sacrifice that you've made to be over here at my house at 6:30 a.m.
Well, I enjoy it too, so.
Well, let's kick it off. We are definitely keeping this one to 30 minutes, folks. We are now using a Pomodoro timer, a tomato timer that we've got visibly in front of our faces to keep us honest to that time. And we are sacrificing a little bit of our playfulness and fun that we get to have on this to make sure we are meeting our audience's needs. How does that feel, Dave?
I like it. Okay. So I'll do the definition. I'm not doing just a definition. I'm doing something that I think hits the core of sacrifice. So I didn't actually look this up in a dictionary or anything, but it says that sacrifices are typically called for when values conflict. Two valuable things cannot both be had, and one must be given up for the sake of the other. That's sacrifice in general. And then it talks about something that I think we will delve into really deeply, which is self-sacrifice, because I think that's what most people think about when they talk about sacrifice. And those things are more complicated because those have to do with something that is valuable to you that you have to sacrifice for someone else or an external factor. So you can sacrifice two things that are important for you, and so what? You know what I'm saying? That's not really self-sacrifice. That's you're sacrificing a chocolate bar and because you want a peanut butter crisp instead. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's substitution.
Well, okay, substitution. But we'll say two different things that are valuable to you. The money would be a good example, right? So anyway.
Okay. Yeah, the way that I broke it down was according to four different topic areas: animal sacrifice, self-sacrifice, other sacrifice, and country sacrifice. And I think the one that, at least in my life, myself included, that we totally take for granted is the animal sacrifice for vegetarian or for meat eaters, specifically carnivores, which I am. I just completely take it for granted. You know, those animals are being sacrificed quite literally for us, you know, to help stay alive.
Because our lives are valued over theirs.
Right. But the production process in which animals are slaughtered is so out of sight, out of mind. It's been industrialized now. There are, you know, animal farms for that. We don't view it as a sacrifice.
That's totally.
And I think that there's something to that. And I like the people in the country who do have to, or who choose to kill their own animals and slaughter their own meat and process their own meat. I think they view it much more as a sacrifice than the average city slicker, if you will.
I agree that we should be closer to our food production. We should see where this stuff comes from. And I've never been a hunter. I don't kill animals, even to eat them. And when I was younger, I had a negative connotation about doing that.
Which is weird, because your dad's a gun nut.
I know, but he also has always said, you know, you don't kill animals for fun. But he would always say for fun, like it was a for fun thing. And he didn't make the connection between the fact that we're going to eat a steak for lunch.
Yeah.
That is a cow that got killed in a factory production system, and that cow's life is probably way worse than a deer who you would shoot with a shotgun or something, who at least led a free, natural life up
until
that point.
So he considered hunting a deer for fun, even if you use the meat and give the hide away and
I mean, that's,
do all that?
I don't know. I mean, if we would have sat down curious, and I'm just telling you what he told me when I was a kid, you know. Basically being like, hey, here's a BB gun. Don't go shoot birds with it.
Yeah, you know? I agree with you that we should be closer to our food production and processing. We're getting a little off topic from sacrifice. I think our society is way too removed from the idea of death itself. Death used to be part of life. The way that people used to grieve and participate in the dying and death process is so different than we have it today. And I don't think it's better today. I think it's much worse.
I love the topics that you're touching on, even though they're not directly related to sacrifice. And I think we need to do things to explore them. I agree with you 100%. And I would say I disagree with you.
Okay, I'm gonna make a note. We'll try to do an episode on death and dying. One of my colleagues at SIUE, Dr. Jocelyn DeGroote Brown, she is the internationally known scholar on death and dying and alive people who are still alive. How do they try to communicate and keep the people that have died in their lives living on? Like, what does that communication look like? She's the person for that.
She's at SIUE.
She's my colleague. Yeah, it's insane. Like, she's known internationally.
Wow.
Yeah, so we'll try to have her on the podcast for that episode. And she's fantastic, a fun person.
Well, what is life if you don't talk about death?
Yes. Yes. Okay, so we'll have a whole episode on that. But so for the first thing...
And we could start a death lab.
Yes, death lab. Oh, my. The birthday thing we talked about was a death lab. And we got to sacrifice one listener. Yeah. So hopefully...
One last thing I got to mention before we move on, because I would be remiss, is I am excited about... something that I think most people will they won't value it appropriately at first, and that is lab-grown meat. It is going to become a thing. It is already becoming a thing, and it's basically going to allow us to eat meat like we do today with much fewer resources and in a much more humane manner, because it's not going to be attached to an animal that has a brain and neurons.
This is so funny. We know each other so well that when I wrote animal on the notes up there, I go, Dave is 100% going to mention, I didn't say lab-grown meat, but the influence of technology in food production and how if we grow cows in a lab, that probably isn't considered a sacrifice.
Yeah.
So I'm saying we know each other really well.
That's true. That's true.
So good. We'll have an episode on that. Do you want to dive into talking about self-sacrifice, sacrifice on behalf of others, or sacrifice on behalf of country? Or something else?
All my notes are self-sacrifice related. I'd like to talk about sacrifice on behalf of country because it's different than where my mind originally goes.
Yeah, so obviously my head goes to military sacrifice.
Okay.
That's the first thank you for your service, right? What we're doing is saying thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for sacrificing the fact that you go live in a fucking desert in Afghanistan for several years of your life so that I can drive down to Steak and Shake, or so that I can send my kids to this school, or so that I can practice religion of my choice in a public setting without fear of being slaughtered by an AK-47, although that now is happening as well in this country.
Man, and that is so true. It is so true, but I think that we don't value that as a country.
Not. Of course not.
It's like a reflex to say that and to be patriotic and, you know, do the show. But there's no way that we are connected to it and feel the emotions like it. It's just like the animal sacrificing you're talking from.
Yes.
We're so far away from
it's
that.
It's taken for granted.
That it is taken for granted. And it doesn't touch our lives unless you've had a relative who's, you know, died in service or or something like that. It doesn't really touch your life in the way that many other things do. I would imagine after World War II was probably when our country was at its most in touch with that.
Well, yes, because the government dictated things that people had to do in terms of rationing. So is that sacrifice if a governmental, for-profit or non-profit or quasi-governmental organization is telling you, you've got to ration your life, you've got to make these decisions, it's for the good of the country, is that still sacrifice? Because that was going on.
Well, I mean, are you talking about if you're in the draft and you don't have a choice?
No, I'm just talking about the government forcing companies to make certain products, not make other products, telling people you can only buy this much food, that kind of thing.
No, it's not sacrifice.
All right. So what I like to think about is during wartime back then, we see all the propaganda and flyers like buy American and, you know, what are you doing for the boys overseas? That kind of thing. It was part of the national narrative. When we were in college and Iraq war is going on and all that stuff, what kind of sacrifice was anyone doing? I mean,
nobody was talking about it.
I mean, we're probably at war. We're still in, like, what, at least Afghanistan right now. I mean, we're in so many of these smaller skirmishes that aren't global wars because warfare has changed.
Nobody's talked about it. And I mean, if you want to get to my negative, somewhat conspiracy theorist self, what I would say is the reason they don't do that anymore is because they figured out how to monetize our sacrifice by taking our tax money and putting 11% of it toward the defense budget so that companies like Halliburton and all the defense industry companies can proliferate through their lobbyists who pay for us to constantly be in wars in places like Afghanistan. I'll stop there because that's ridiculous, but that's what my gut emotion says.
Well, I guess my point is this. You had a brother who was overseas. Your brother's in the Special Forces. What did you do to sacrifice on his behalf?
Yeah, I didn't do
anything. Nothing, right? That's my point. None of us do. Yeah. If he would have died, would you have some better connection to sacrifice?
I probably...
Or better understand his sacrifice?
Honestly, I'd probably have resentment.
Yeah.
For... Like, if he died because we were in a world war to fight for something that was just, then yes, I would absolutely feel that. But if he died because of the reasons that I just mentioned that I think are our motivation for being in war, no, I would have total resentment. And I definitely wouldn't feel patriotic about it.
I'll tell you this. Here's what I'll say about sacrifice to country. People in the military, absolutely. That is the definition of sacrifice. And they might have other motives for joining because we're complex beings. But at the end of the day, they've said, I'm going to let the government move my family around and tell me where to go and fight and terrible conditions and see bad things. That's sacrifice.
What's it? Pat Tillman,
mm-hmm.
The NFL player who quit playing football.
Right, that's the ultimate form there.
To go fight for our country. Now, here's the thing is like if the core comes down to do you believe in the cause? I believe in fighting next to other Americans and helping them in the fight. Like, that's the thing that I like most about what my brother went through. Is that they learned to be part of a team and they learned to sacrifice as a default. They would rather see themselves go down than the team because your brother next to you matters more than you.
Yeah, you're fighting for the people next to you.
You're fighting for your brothers, right? And they literally call them their brothers. And I love that. And I love that idea and that sacrifice 100%. So when it comes to, well, I guess we're talking about micro and macro. So in the micro, if I were over there fighting, absolutely, I would 100% be in it for the people around me, and I would sacrifice for them. And you see these movies like, is it Hurt Locker, where he comes back and he feels like he doesn't have a purpose? He's like standing in the grocery store looking, you know, because he had such a purpose. That self-sacrifice was his default mode, and he felt such camaraderie and like purpose for his life, and then you come back and you don't have a purpose for
Well, he had training for that purpose, indoctrination, not in a bad way, but just that's how you survive over there.
Right.
But there's no retraining and indoctrination to become a citizen.
So what I'm saying is in the micro, I absolutely believe in that sacrifice for others. It's a tribal thing. It's built into us. I always talk about, you know, the way that we've evolved. And so, yes, I think that's a very strong, powerful thing. But in the macro, if you're asking about fighting for your country today, I kind of have some...
So what is sacrifice going to look like at a military level, which I want to get to other types of sacrifice for your country, because everybody goes military default, as they should, because that's putting your life in harm's way. But there's other types of service and sacrifice people do. But what happens when our military is almost all automated and based on machines?
Yeah,
we're sacrificed then. Hey, guys, thank you for going into the lab and controlling those drones and putting your brain focus power on the line. I appreciate that. I mean, is that the same sacrifice?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Interesting.
I mean, I think we all know it's not, right?
Right. All right. So military, country, sacrifice. What about teachers? What about teachers teaching in very dangerous communities that could choose to teach in other communities? What about
social workers?
Social workers, or just anyone working with downtrodden, impoverished people, trying to help them help themselves, really, and just live a better life. Huge, very difficult, and they're not compensated well. Very low rung on both financial status level and status level. But no one go. When's the last time you met a social worker and go, thank you for your service to our country?
Those are the people we should be saying thank you to on a daily basis.
Or certain teachers. Not all teachers, as a teacher.
I agree with teachers and, you know, first responders. You know, like, I absolutely agree
with that. Or doctors who do these, like, Doctors Beyond Borders. You know, yes. People who take that medical knowledge and could be making a lot of money, and they travel and give it to people who need it. You know, I've never heard of anyone saying thank you for your sacrifice, thank you for your service to our country.
That is true, amazing sacrifice. Those things that you just mentioned, I believe, are true amazing sacrifice, because we're talking about something that's like they're sacrificing their own self-interest. You want to talk about, like, values?
Yes.
So what's one of the biggest values that we have in our capitalist society? It's money, right? And those people are putting like altruism for the benefit of others ahead of their own self-interest from a monetary perspective, yep, at least. And I just think that that's the old, I mean, that's a
ding,
really
ding, 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 early change challenge alert. The next social worker you meet, or the next teacher who's making a decision to teach in a school that they don't need to teach in, that they don't live in that neighborhood and it's a tough school, thank them.
Yes.
Thank them for their sacrifice and service, because that's what they're doing.
100%.
They're trying to serve citizens of this country and put their self behind those people. And that is service and sacrifice.
Yeah. We'll have to do a life lab on value, because I just read that.
We did.
Well, we're going to have to retouch on it, because I just read something about Justin Verlander making $28 million for throwing a baseball.
And that's not his fault, though.
No. But what I'm saying is what our society, you know, values. And when we talk about sacrifice, like, we're sacrificing the ability to have more teachers, more social workers benefit our society in that way in order to have more entertaining baseball games.
Right. The last thing,
but
I'll
we
say,
don't think
we,
about
we, yeah,
that.
We
is
need
a
to move on. We
make.
Got 13 minutes yeah. and 14 seconds.
Yeah.
The last thing I'll mention is just general law enforcement. I agree that they also should be part of that conversation.
But the point that I was making there is that we as a society are making that sacrifice without thinking that we are making it. Do you get what I'm saying? If there were better incentives for first responders and all the things we talked about, we would have better ones that exist and we would have more of them. But we are putting the value of sports way higher than them, and we're sacrificing that
yeah.
in order to have more entertaining sports.
Right.
I just think that's
– Well, it is, but then it comes down to – it's coming from the guy that's wearing a Cardinals baseball hat across from me.
Yeah, but that's a different thing.
No, you're buying into the narrative. That's valuable. I don't see you wearing a St. Louis Police Department hat on your head.
Okay, fine. Valid point.
All right, you want to go on to self-sacrifice, because you said you had a lot of thoughts on that.
Yeah. So basically – What self-sacrifice is when you're I think I already explained it. It's when you're giving up something that you value yourself for something that is for others, right? Now, the interesting thing about that is setting the values. We take for granted that the values are set correctly, right? So sometimes self-sacrifice happens in instances where it shouldn't, because the values are set incorrectly through the way that we were raised or grown, right? So I think a great example of this is that women who've been socialized by, like, the gender norms that we have now to take on more of the burden with the kids might be sacrificing themselves more than they should by default and not realizing it. Does that make any sense?
It does.
So when you frame sacrifice based on the value exchange, I think it gives you a framework in order to talk about what really is self-sacrifice and what isn't, and whether it's virtuous or not. Does that
yeah.
make sense?
Yeah. For me, I believe the setting and scene with which it, and the purpose of the sacrifice is very important. A lot of people, and I'm not excluding myself from this, but we do self-sacrifice, or what could be deemed or discussed as self-sacrifice, in a very public way, which to me is not self-sacrifice. It's, hey, look because at what I'm doing. Right. And on throw it out on Facebook. Promote it, right?
Well, all that is exchange of value. You're giving away one value for recognition, which is another thing. That's exchange of value.
Yeah, I'm saying it's not a sacrifice. Yeah, that's not my sacrifice. Point.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I think what I was saying about the definition of sacrifice is you basically are giving away something, self-sacrifice at least, you're giving away something that you value and you're not getting anything in return, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's the key. So I talked about people who might have an error in the way they set values. Okay, here's another one besides just women taking care of kids would be people who have like a pathological altruism, like the quote unquote nice guy, right? Who his self-image is built on the fact that he is always doing for others and he does it to the point of his own detriment or he is unhappy as a person and values himself less as a person because that's what his identity is wrapped up in.
How do you differentiate that, or do you, from a martyr?
I believe it comes in the, what we always go back to, that life is a series of emotions and how you feel about life matters. I believe someone who wraps themselves up in the nice guy thing and therefore goes to sacrifice as a default mode and it makes them unhappy is who I'm talking about. Someone who has decided that they want to dedicate their life to a purpose and that is their highest value.
That they're happy when they die, at least.
Yes. Then they're not doing what I'm talking about.
Cool.
But that
I like that differentiation.
And that's a correct value setting process, right?
So what is the last thing you've done personally as a self-sacrifice?
It's probably something in my relationship with Lauren, which is interesting too, because I was in my notes, I also have a section that talks about, is it really self-sacrifice when it's for your closest group, when it's for the people that you love? Because there are psychological experiments that show that with the closest relationships that you have, our default tendency is to sacrifice. That's interesting, isn't it? and they basically said that the experiment that they ran was that they had people that were at the end of a hard day and had shown traits that they had that were depleted of self-control, okay? So psychologists think that at the end of long days and stuff, you can become depleted of self-control where you're more likely to grab some chocolate and eat it. You're more likely to have that extra piece of cake, whatever, than to have any kind of will. And in those times, they ran an experiment to show what someone would do by default as far as sacrifice with their loved ones. And by default, they went and sacrificed because it's the easier decision. It's their default mode. I think that's interesting. And so I think that's worth mentioning, number one, and thinking about. And number two, when you ask me what's the most recent thing that I did, I guarantee it's that. I guarantee it's I took the kids and told Lauren to go have a break or something like that.
Okay, so, nice. Is me quitting drinking self-sacrifice in your opinion?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
It is.
I agree. Now, does it benefit others?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, it is something I enjoyed and I wanted to do and I still would if I could, but I just know I can't and do it in a controlled, enjoyable manner.
And it becomes really glaringly obvious how much of a sacrifice it is when we're in a social situation, like our fantasy football draft the other weekend, where you're running things, you're taking care of everything for everyone, and everybody else is.
Yeah,
is
you
drinking.
Noticed that though, so I appreciate that. Oh, yeah. And you pointed that out. So self-sacrifice, it's important. I think.
Well, and thank you.
No, thank you. I think it comes along with just parenting, the idea of parenting, if you're a decent parent and not a piece of shit, which you can be. But the idea, if you're a normal average parent or beyond trying to be a really good parent, that is sacrifice. You're sacrificing your. A good chunk of the prime of your life, typically mid-20s to early 40s, to do things for another human.
That's true. I would say, though, it's sacrifice in the small things, right? Like, when you're not getting sleep so you can take care of your kid, that's a real sacrifice. That sucks. Those two things that you value, you're losing one of them that you like a lot, right? So for another, and that's self-sacrifice. To me, the decision to have a kid, though, It's not a sacrifice.
No,
at
no,
all.
Not that. Once they're there,
yeah,
I could go be going to the ball yeah. game. No, I'm yeah. going to do that. Whatever. I could be having more business meetings or doing this. Nope, I'm going to go watch their ballet lesson.
Which is really interesting because we're talking about making small sacrifices for the large life thing that you want. And that applies to kids. That applies to right. starting your own business.
Because that's become a value for us. Yeah. So moving to Webster Groves in this house, do we love this house? No. Is it an okay house and nice? Sure. But we moved here. Why? For sacrifice. 100. We wanted to be in the Webster Grove School District. We liked this community. We know we were priced in at a certain area. We could only afford certain areas because it's a really nice community. And so we did that. We could have gotten a huge house somewhere else in the county in St. Louis, but we didn't want to do that. To me, that's a sacrifice.
That is. That it absolutely
was a, like
is.
That was in our decision-making process. We're like, well, we'll sacrifice a couple thousand square foot and live in a smaller home, but yep. in a really awesome community.
That's 100% a sacrifice. And I think it's interesting the small sacrifices that people end up making in order to have a big value in their life. And I wonder how accurate those decisions are all the time. Think about the small sacrifices that people make in order for a value, the one that we always go back to, like money. When, you know, one of the things that we always talk about is that about making people unhappy is they're almost making forced sacrifices, right? They're sacrificing relationships with friends and or family. They're sacrificing time to do hobbies and pursue interests in order to try to earn more money.
Yeah. No, you're right. There's always a, again, we're complex. So the way we have to talk about things, write about things, is going through them linearly. But every motives are bundled. Reasons are bundled. And I agree with 99.2% of what you said there, other than the word accuracy. It is accuracy for them. That's their validity. That's their reality. You're critiquing it and interpreting it through your lens, and that makes sense. But for them, hey, that's their process and their flow at that point in the moment, and that's what they think's important.
I'd love to do a survey of those type of people and find out how many of them, after the fact, feel they made a mistake.
Buyer's
in that
remorse.
Value assessment.
Yeah. Yeah. Value remorse.
Well, and let's flip that around. What about people who are social workers and teachers who also do that same thing? They think that that's going to be a better value for them and make them happy, and they make that sacrifice, that huge sacrifice. So, and then later on, they find out that maybe they didn't want to do that. But
then they can get change.
Yeah.
Okay. So this popped in my head. That's tied to that a little bit. Are people that go become a priest or a nun? That's a huge sacrifice.
Yeah.
You know, that's celibacy, or at least currently, the church is going to have to change that if they want to prevent some of these
vow
scandals.
Of poverty.
Poverty, which,
well,
who knows, but right. in theory, that's supposed to be. I think that's another type.
It absolutely is.
We've been talking about self, but it's tied into one of the other categories I had up there, which is other, sacrifice on behalf of others, family, or just general strangers.
Let me talk about this. So I talked about folks who might have their values misformed for different reasons, the nice guy or whatever. But let's talk about those who have values misformed in the opposite way and don't self-sacrifice enough, like wealthy people who were born with an unfair disadvantage for their families, and they've never worked, and now they've got power, right, because of the family that they were born into, and they might have anxiety about whether those they love would fare well enough under equal circumstances. So they do whatever they can politically to stack the deck and put the people that they love in a benefit. You get what I'm saying? So their value is exactly the opposite as the people who are being too altruistic. They're being less self-sacrificing because of the circumstances in which they were born and raised and grew. There's one person who's in political power who this comes to mind for.
Yeah.
I don't. What, do you have any thoughts on that?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
No.
I mean, I don't agree or disagree. It just doesn't spark my mind to want to go down a political conversation.
Well, it to me, the only reason it's interesting is because we ask, why do people act the ways they act, right? And so I can see in that situation where the values that they formed were like, well, that's your fault. You're the one who's to blame, whatever. But at least you can understand why they're living that way, right? Like, they were raised with the advantage their whole life. All they're trying to do is stack the deck against everybody else so they retain that advantage because it's what they're used to. And they're not making self-sacrifice at the level that an average person does, but they never have, and that's the way that they were taught to live. I don't know. It's just interesting to me.
I see that, but I guess I'd say that every human tries to build and maintain power.
No doubt.
People with wealth just can do it at a different level. So Trump just does it at a different level.
Well, I wonder, though, if you would take the people who we're talking about who are naturally altruistic, like the social workers and the things who have built a different value system, and you put them in that position of power, would they make such broad policy changes that are just clearly self-serving to them and the people that they love most? I don't know. It's an interesting thought experiment, at least.
It is. It definitely is. But you don't see a lot of social workers getting nominated from either party.
That's true.
Yeah, it'd be quite a day if that happened.
That's true.
So we are literally at zero time. That timer is our time. So do we want to do 3 extra minutes?
We got to do our change challenges, and let me end with a quote.
Well, I had one other thing before you end with a quote.
Okay.
Two other areas tie into sacrifice, and we've tangentially mentioned them, and that is timing of sacrifice in one's life and expectations that others put on you about when you should be sacrificing, specifically related to kids. If you're not having kids in your 20s and 30s, if you're not married, right, then those questions begin to come, then that pressure begins to come. So people will make decisions. People do make decisions based on others' expectations, right? Living the life that others expect of you. And so then you'll start feeling like a victim when you're doing the sacrifice because you're making choices that you probably didn't want to make, but you're caving into peer pressure. Right. And so it's this expectation of how should I be acting as a parent, as a father, as a husband? I'm in my mid-30s. Like, what are my friends doing? Like, what is society telling me I should be doing at this point in my life? Maybe I should sell my car, and ride my bike to work. That's a good sacrifice. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, I agree 100%. What you're saying is that the value of image to others is overriding your personal decision-making ability or, any one of those instances, other values that you talked about. Yeah.
Yes. So timing and expectations. Timing in terms of the chronology of our life, expectations that others and society in general place upon us.
Well,
that affects, most people don't think about sacrifice, but if we wanted to interpret their actions as sacrifice or not, that affects those decisions.
So I'd say in that period of your life, most like your 30s and 40s, you end up sacrificing more than you probably are comfortable with. And then let's think about other times, like college age, where you're given too much leeway. It's like, he went out and partied and got drunk and right. and slept in all day, but hey, he's in college.
It's the expectation of, that's what you do in college, which is, we don't even need to talk about that.
Yeah.
But yes, that's great point, great point. All right, you were going to have a quote.
So Ralph Waldo Emerson said that self-sacrifice is the real miracle out of which all the reported miracles grow. I thought that was interesting. I like that.
True self-sacrifice is about relinquishing our selfishness, letting go of ourself, stopping thinking about us and me and I and what Zach wants and feels and thinks, and doing something truly to benefit another. And that is hard to do.
The whole show here, we've talked about it from how it's hard to do, but there's also great reward that comes from that. People who are truly happy in life have learned to embrace that. And there's something that is fulfilling about that that we haven't really talked about that I hope people get out of the change challenges that we do. Go do from our change challenges. I hope you get the fulfilling feeling that I am talking about where you make a self-sacrifice. Nobody knows it but yourself. And for some reason, there's something really emotionally positive there. It lets you feel connected to the world, the universe, others, in a way that we generally don't feel.
I think one thing we didn't talk about at all is just fitness and healthy living and nutrition. That's a sacrifice to do a lot of that and be consistent.
It is.
All right, so it seems like you have some change challenges for people. Go ahead.
Well, let's just do something that's easy, right? So we have a connection to food, right? Food drives emotion. So what I would say is at your next meal, whether it's at home or in public, take whatever it is that you were going to eat, like that was going to give you that pleasure in that moment, and offer it to someone else, and fast for that meal. I think that's a self-sacrifice, that especially if you do something like, oh man, like give it to someone who's homeless, right? You're going to feel the pain of sacrifice in the moment. And if you do it where you're giving it to the right person, you're actually making a sacrifice that is valuable.
That's helpful.
That is helpful. Then that should generate what we're talking about here. That connection to the universe and to others, and an act of love, really.
Mine is twofold. One is a simple greeting. Thank someone for their service. Do it with military people if that's your thing, but also do it to someone else. Think about people in your life who are serving others in unique ways and go thank them face to face or a phone call. Look them in the eye if you're face to face, shake their hand and tell them thank you and tell them why that's important. The other thing is just a thought experiment for you. Just think about sacrifice. What are you sacrificing? And why are you sacrificing? So what and why are you sacrificing? And go thank somebody.
Let me say one more thing about those two change challenges. When you do the thanking someone for their service or for being a social worker or a teacher, please, I mean, I think in order for it to be a true sacrifice, it has to be uncomfortable. You have to experience discomfort from it because that's what the sacrifice is. So if your brother's a teacher or a social worker and you're going to go tell him thank you.
Your brother, that's easy. Yeah, but who cares? I think even telling anybody that you don't tell that kind of thing to, you're going to be uncomfortable because it's weird. Well, we don't go say that.
But I'm just trying to make that point that that's the sacrifice. And also when you're doing the chain challenge that I gave, don't go buy another sandwich. Literally fast, because you have to feel the pain of the sacrifice in order for it to really be a sacrifice. I was going to say something like pay for somebody's coffee ahead of you, but that's not really a sacrifice.
If there's Facebook video memes about it and insurance companies have started ad campaigns based on it, it ain't a sacrifice, in my opinion.
Right. Literally do without so that someone else can have. You have not for that period of time so that someone else can have. That's a true change talent sacrifice. So get out there and do it, guys. Let's experiment with life.
Have a great day.